we're going to dive right into it because as somebody said earlier, whenever I sent them the questions, they said, well, how many days do we have to talk about this? Because forgiveness is such a complex issue. So we're just going to dive right into it. And thank you all so much for being with us this morning. I know that it's going to be beneficial for everyone out there. I would encourage you to get your notepads ready because there's going to be some great things coming your way. The first question was actually a question that we took from somebody last week. And they said, I thought that there is nothing we can do to earn forgiveness. So why is it required of me to forgive in order to receive it? Is that under the old law and not under grace? Great question to get us started.
I'm not even picking up my mic for that one. You got this one, baby.
This could be a short Sunday here. You know, it's interesting. When I think of forgiveness, I think of it in terms of again, what Christ did for us. Forgiveness is really something that none of us earned, did we? Hmm. You know, in fact, if we got what we deserved, none of us would even be here. That's really the testimony of my life. And even as we were worshiping this morning, by the way, worship team, that was fabulous. Amazing. Amazing. And Philip and Destiny, on behalf of Kim and I, just want to say thank you for the honor of just spending a little time with you guys. We love you so much. But back to forgiveness. What can we do to earn it? And the short answer is there's absolutely nothing. Christ did all that work for us on the cross. He presented us with a gift, and he paid a deep price for it. And I don't know if you've ever been affiliated with the rewrapping of gifts, repackaging of gifts. I won't ask any of you to raise your hand. But literally, when he created the gift of forgiveness for us, he also created within it the idea that it's to be repackaged. Its full design is not really fully felt unless we not only receive it and appropriate it for ourselves, but we learn how to rewrap it and give it out. We lose some of the effect of it. And so the question says, so, you know, why is it required of me not only the forgiveness for me, but to also give it out? Mm-hmm. And it's simply the way he designed it. Mm-hmm. You see, when you understand the purpose of forgiveness, the whole purpose of forgiveness was God's design so that we might be reconciled back to him. He wanted a relationship with us, even if we don't understand it. He said, I want a relationship with Jerry, and the only way that's going to happen is if Jesus does his work, he pays the price, and then Jerry becomes holy under the blood so that I can be in relationship. But it didn't stop there. God knew that he needed Jerry then to have right relationship with one another. And so it's required of the gift. When I appropriate it, it's automatically built into the front end. If I'm going to receive forgiveness, I got to repackage it and give forgiveness.
Yeah, so good. You know, we talked about it just briefly last week, but the parable of the unmerciful servant who gets the forgiveness from the king of a great debt. And then he runs out there and he begins to demand that all these small debts be paid back to him. And then the king gets wind of, well, what's going on? I'm hearing that you're going back out there and you're demanding what I just forgave you of. And the Bible says that he takes him and puts him in prison and to be tortured in prison. And then Jesus ends that story by saying, that's exactly what will happen to you. And so we understand that this is this isn't just a recommendation, but this is a command of the Father that says, man, forgiveness is so important. I'm willing to give it freely to you. It's there. It's available. All you have to do is say, hey, I need it, and I give it. But then don't be like this unmerciful servant then wants to go out there and live an unforgiving lifestyle that's going to put you in a place where, man, you're going to be like the parable, and you're going to be put in a place that you don't want to get. And I think it's interesting that unforgiveness really opens the door to so many other sins that really have no end. Yeah. When we begin to live in forgiveness, Jesus has given us a great principle here, because whenever we live in unforgiveness, it opens our heart to bitterness, malice, jealousy, anger, and to all of those sins, there is no end. So Jesus is saying, if you begin to live this way, it's just going to go on and on and on. You have to forgive so that you can close the back door to anger and jealousy and bitterness, and so that you can begin to move forward. And so there is no question, forgiveness is demanded of us.
Yeah, and I would just add to this that, you know, all the victories you've achieved in your life through the work of Christ in your life, what you have to understand about this parable that Pastor Philip was saying, if you choose unforgiveness, you literally unlock the door back to all the stuff you dealt with and got victory in your past.
Wow. Wow.
It will all come back on you. The stuff you've achieved victory over, that's just one more reason why you want to give forgiveness. You don't want to go back.
Wow, that's really good. No, we definitely don't want to go back. Amen?
Amen.
Question number two says this. Does forgiveness mean reconciliation? Does forgiveness mean reconciliation? And just one example would be, what if I'm in a situation with a person who doesn't recognize that they have done anything wrong and continues to hurt me? What does God say about maybe even distancing myself from that person, even if it's a family member?
Oh, what does God say? Distancing yourself from that person that has hurt you. One thing I do know about unforgiveness is that if you choose not to forgive, you have chosen to stay imprisoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see anything else except for the act. That's all you can see, and you're totally imprisoned. That's all you can focus on. You're not able to move on. In relationships, if it's a divorce, you can't move on and receive God's best for your future. You're stuck in your past and that unforgiveness. You're magnifying it and making it so much bigger than the ability of God.
Wow, so true.
I think you have to separate, at least in my mind, reconciliation and forgiveness. Again, we've just talked about that forgiveness isn't an option. You just have to give it. Now, I think sometimes we, honestly, in a democracy, we kind of feel like we should be the ones deciding what relationships we have and don't have. You know, I just want, you know, part of my testimony in coming here is we used to always decide, well, we're going to be your friend or your, you know. And God says, you know, Jerry, if you'll just get me involved, I'll even define the relationships and friendships you need to be in. You know, the Bible says, What does light have in common with darkness? And you see, there are some things you do not reconcile yourself to. There are some people who have done you wrong and are living in darkness, and unless the Lord tells you to continue to be in there in a reconciled way, actually, you're not to be. The Bible even talks about that even within the family of God, if there is an offense that a brother has to another, it says you privately go to them. You take the burden of forgiveness, and you go to them privately and say, hey, we got an offense here. Can we resolve this thing? And if they're dug in and they don't want to go anywhere with that, there's a process even of going to elders in the church. But at the end of that verse, it says, if after you've done everything you know to do, if they're still dug in, have nothing to do with them. Wow. Now, that doesn't mean you don't forgive them.
Yes.
Don't miss that. It's just that we have to come under the Holy Spirit to say, God, who am I to reconcile myself to? Never forget, though, here's the opposite side. God so loved the whole world. It is his strong desire that he would be reconciled to the whole world. And he gave the gift of life and salvation and forgiveness. But until that person appropriates it, God cannot be reconciled to them. And so there's a whole bunch more we could say on this, but.
Yeah, you know, and somebody actually asked this specific question. Have I forgiven my son for how he hurt me if I still want nothing to do with him or his family? How do I do it when I'm dealing with these emotional issues of trying to walk through real, genuine, authentic forgiveness, but I still have these issues of saying, I don't want anything to do with him or her or their family. Have I really forgiven them if I still have these emotions?
I think that emotions are real, and that's something that we have to really understand is the emotions that we feel are real, and we cannot ignore them. Mm. And so, and you always, when you walk in a room and someone who has offended you, there's a knot that you feel that just really goes off in your stomach. And you can't ignore it because you treat them. Everybody else in the room sees how you treat that person. And you're not hiding it, and you're getting sicker. You're making yourself sicker. So number one, we have to deal with those issues of unforgiveness. We can't hide it. We can't say it doesn't exist. We've got to allow God to deal with it. And then when we come into a place, my mom, I'm going to go back to my mom and refer, you know, just kind of talk about my mom and dad a lot, because they taught me so much when it comes to forgiveness. And they said, you know, what they did is hurting you more than what they did to you, and you holding that against them is hurting you more because you can't let it go. They're at home. They're not concerned about, you know, what they did. Sometimes they don't even know what they've done. And you're holding it. You're getting sicker. You get headaches. Literally, you get headaches. You're sick. You can't eat. You're losing weight, or you gain weight. You need some comfort food. We need to deal with that issue. So when we walk into that room like Jesus, we can love them. We don't have to like the things that they do. We confront them. And, you know, we take a brother and we take a sister. Mama says, just go to them and tell them you hurt them. They hurt you. Yeah. Deal with it and then let it go so you can move on. Yeah. Honey, you're sick.
Yes.
You can't move on because you're not forgiving. Mm. And let it go. Now, it's between them and God what they do with what you've just done. So my mama, you know, what an incredible woman. She brings people into her life. And I just don't understand it. But what I see is Jesus. I see Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He did not have to do that. He knows that the world hates him. But his love was to give the very best that he had.
So good. You know, Pastor Jerry, I like what you said a minute ago about going to the person when they've dug their heels in. How do we get reconciliation? Does that mean complete restoration with the relationship, or is there a level that comes with forgiveness where I can live in forgiveness? It means reconciliation maybe for me in my life, but there's not always going to be restoration in terms of somebody digging their heels in and saying, no, I'm not going there with you.
You know, even in the body of Christ, you have to deal with what the Lord puts in your hand and he asks you to deal with. And then there are other things that we want to reach out and try to control. And God says, I've never given you that grace to do that. Forgiveness, so don't forget, forgiveness is something he says, I have a command for you. You must forgive. And even in the question, Philip, that was asked, you know, how have I forgiven my son for how he hurt me? And if I still want nothing to do with him or his family, you know, it's even built in the question. You have to look at the motivation of your heart. And your measuring stick is always Jesus. So if I've offered forgiveness, but secretly I still want nothing to do with this person, I'm probably still holding on to some stuff. You know what I'm saying? I think the emotions that Kim was talking about are so, they're important for us, because it can tell you a lot about what's in your heart. And here's the thing. Use Jesus as our benchmark. How well am I loving this person? Have I forgiven this person? And again, that doesn't mean, if you're doing those two things right, it doesn't mean you're to be reconciled to them. I can give you many cases. We're very practical. You know, there are some relationships, again, light and darkness. You always are careful with how you reconcile to that. But even, let's say, in a divorce or an affair where someone has grievously wounded another, you know, I counsel couples, and if one has had an affair and they're trying to repair the marriage now, I tell them that this relationship with this outside person, which should have never happened, is never to be reconciled. Yes, you are to forgive them. Yes, you are to pray for them. But there are certain relationships you do not reconcile, because light has no business with darkness.
Wow. That's so
good. But we never stop loving the lost, do we?
And I think it takes us right into our next question, Pastor Jerry. I'd love to hear. It says, how can I forgive when the offense is ongoing? When the offense is ongoing, another way to say it, if they don't admit they're wrong, can I still forgive them? If I'm in a situation where it keeps on, it's perpetual, maybe I can't get out of that. So maybe it's a workplace situation. I can't just quit my job. Or how do I deal with forgiveness in terms of the offense that's ongoing?
Boy, they keep pointing to me, and they know that they're the theologians and stuff. I'm a mama. I'm so excited about being a mom. And so I have the opportunity as a wife and a mom and being where we've been to actually exercise forgiveness and all that. And it's just the ongoing, just the ongoing. Yeah. And I keep looking back to Jesus. He's just, you know, he's my measuring stick. I know I have all this wonderful teaching from my mom and my my dad and just living life with my children. And I don't have all the answers, but I keep going back to what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What did God do? Knowing that the world was going to be the way it was.
Wow. That's really good.
And it never catches him off guard that the world acts like the world. That our flesh does what our flesh is supposed to do. It's totally at enmity with God. It hates God. And that's why we keep coming and we're going from glory to glory and learning about the things of God and forgiveness and repentance. And actually the one thing that I have always struggled with and I'm so thankful for the word of God is when they don't come back and say that they're sorry when they've done something and they know that it's right to repent. And if you ask my husband, he says he really is the very first one to come back and say, I'm sorry. And he'll stand in there and he'll wait for me. He says, and? You have something to say? What? You know, and so repentance is right. But on my part, forgiveness is the only way for me to live as a believer. And do what Jesus wants us to do, not just with the church, but with the world. Knowing that the world, if you go into the environment of the world, they will act like the world. They're not going to look like the church, but we expect it. So we shun the world, a place where we're supposed to bring light to a dark world. That's what we're supposed to do. So these issues of they're not going to say I'm sorry because they're the world, duh. So don't expect it. So how do I live? I live. And I was reading a scripture. I don't know if I wrote it down, but I read a lot of it, a lot of scriptures trying to get ready for today. You know, just my nerves were working. Me and my husband said, let's talk about this diet thing. He said, you need a break. And so there was this amazing passage of, I think it's in, let's see if I can see one of them. And I was only prepared for one of the answers, but I'm a woman, so I talk a lot, even though I don't. I'm not supposed to. That's just what we do, right, ladies? We're designed that way. So just, you know, dudes, just get over it. Let's see, where is that? It talked about how forgiving seven times, and it says, seven times, and then seven times seven. So as a Christian, even if we're in a position to where we're around those who are unloving and unforgiving, and then they just, you know, they just live like that, we are supposed to be those who forgive over and over again like Jesus. And I'll find that scripture, you know, when my nerves kind of do like this, my eyesight is just like, I can't see, I'm nervous, I can't. So if I butt in, you guys, I have that scripture. It's like in the middle of the night, you wake up, I remember that name. Okay, go ahead.
Well, let me read one of the scriptures. And it says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Interesting, isn't it? Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Yes. Now, if you just took that verse, you'd say, okay, good. I got some caveats here. I only have to forgive them if they ask. I know your minds. Mine's gone there too. I have all the exception clauses for forgiveness, you know? But remember, Jesus is our standard. Yes. He's already paid the price. Here's the reality for me. You know, there are certain offenses that we encounter that are just tough, aren't they? You know, it may not bother this one over here. They can get used. But there are things unique to each of us that are like, and the devil knows how to push those buttons. You know, that to get us that point, okay, I'll forgive this time, but not the next time. And really, forgiveness is so much a sign of our spiritual maturity. You know, I read the scripture and I think, okay, I want to put some caveats, because if I'll forgive you for the two times, but if it's three, you know, what's the old world saying? You know, fool me once, or you know, do what is it? Shame on me, and if you do me twice, shame on me, or something. I just know, shame on you. Something. We know there's shame, and there's something here. Yeah, I guess I should have prepared that one a little better, huh? That's not Jesus. He says you just got to keep giving and giving and giving. And I look at scriptures, and I say, okay, well, if they ask me to forgive, well, did Jesus ask the people when he was on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was no one in the crowd saying, oh, forgive me here, Jesus. No, they were busy killing the guy.
Wow.
You know, when Stephen was martyred, they're throwing stones at him. There was no one in the audience saying, would you forgive me for that rock?
Yeah.
No, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah, that's right.
So what I realize is, even in forgiveness, I got a long ways to go. There are burdens to forgiveness. It's a dying process. It always costs the one who has to give forgiveness more than the one that receives forgiveness. We don't realize how much it cost Jesus to forgive us all. It always costs. And let me just say this. Sometimes forgiveness is a step of faith, because if your emotions, you lock into your emotions, there's many times your emotions will never take you there. So by faith, I do it because I'm going to obey God. And there's one story with Corrie Ten Boom. Do we have time? How are we doing?
Yes,
Corrie Ten Boom is a great example. Some of you may be familiar with her, but great lady in World War II. Family hid Jews. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And anyway, she and her family got hauled off. All of them got killed, essentially, through the German persecution. And her and her sisters were put in a concentration camp. She saw her sister die at the hands of a prison guard. After she gets out, God calls her to a ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation to Germany. It says, you go and tell the people about my love and forgiveness. She said in church after church, she would walk in, and the church would be full. And at the end of her message, two things would happen. One, a whole group of them would just get up and quietly walk out. And then another group, about half of them, would line up to talk to her. So it's a long story here. Shortly, she's noticing someone in the back. She recognizes him, but she doesn't. I don't know who that is, but she keeps talking to people. About four or five back, she realizes who it is. It's the guard in the prison camp who she held personally responsible for killing her most beloved sister. And she knows what's about to happen. He gets up there and says, Fraulein, can this Jesus, this love, is it real? I mean, can I get forgiveness, and can you forgive me? And she bowed her head. She couldn't even say anything. And she said this, Lord, I cannot. I cannot forgive him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I know you can't, Corrie, but will you allow me to forgive him through you? She said, only by faith, no emotional attachment. She didn't even look at him. She just put her hand on his shoulder, and the Holy Spirit came through her like electricity, and love flowed through her all the way out, and she was changed for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Forgiveness is a choice and an act.
Wow.
It's not an emotion.
Wow.
So no matter what anyone's done to you, it's never greater than the cost that your Savior paid for you to get forgiveness.
Oh.
So good, so good. Man, how many of you are getting some great stuff out of this so far? Man, isn't this great? Let's move on. The next question says, how can I forgive and fight for what is right? How can I live in forgiveness, but at the same time, fight for what is right?
You can talk again.
I'm loving Kim, aren't you? I love the practical, relational. You know, sometimes the theologian it isn't even, you know, it's like, what, is that really practical? So we want to hear from you, Kim.
You guys want to hear from me? Okay. Well, here goes. actually, I was thinking about just fighting for what was right and forgiving. And this is the example that came to me. And remember, I was prepared for one. This is not the one question. And so. But I'm reminded of a story of a woman who got sent to a particular church. And every time she would walk in, she'd say, I know I just don't belong here. I just know I don't belong here. And she would leave and go home, and she'd made up in her mind, I'm not going back. I just don't belong there. And the Lord said, I'm sending you there, and it's not just for you, but it's for the people who cannot hear what the preacher has to say. And every time you walk in the door, it reminds them of what they're supposed to do. She didn't lift a finger. She didn't say a word to a person. She just walked in, and she was the word being preached to the people every time she walked. That's a fight. That's a battle. And she fought that battle, and she won that battle. Things were changed in that church because she didn't give up. That was the battle that she was chosen for and she was sent for. So does that make sense to you all? Now, you guys, it's your responsibility to come up with scripture on that.
You know, how do I forgive and fight for what is right? You know, I find a lot of us Christians fight for causes and things that God never assigned to us. Wow. I think you need to know, what has he asked you to stand for justice on? There are things that God says, this is justice, and you should fight for that. I also think you need to know what God has asked you to be in stewardship over. You know, part of this question was, it went on as an example, how can I forgive and still fight for the custody of my kids from the father I believe is abusing them? I mean, how real and tough is that? Mm-hmm. That goes on every day. Mm-hmm. And again, you have to separate it. You can give forgiveness, mm-hmm. but God still gives us wisdom. Mm-hmm. And you're still called to be a steward over that child. Mm-hmm. We live in a country where there's laws and things like that, but you, at the end of the day, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Mm-hmm. What has God asked you to stand for in justice, and what has he asked you to stand in stewardship over? If he's put it in your hand, you better fight for it.
Yes.
You'd better fight for it because he's asked you to. He's asked you to love and protect and do your very best to do that. Remember, you can still forgive the aggressor, the one who's at fault. You can still love them at a distance because God has commanded you to even love your enemies.
Yeah.
But justice and stewardship are separated and different yet from love and forgiveness. It all goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
But that's the way I would answer it. You'd better forgive, and you also better fight for what is right if God has asked you to do it.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's also a separation. I mean, there is spiritual and then there is criminal. And if somebody is guilty of a crime, we live in a country that will punish the criminal. And it doesn't mean that you cannot live in forgiveness. You can live in forgiving the wrong that person has done. You can forgive them for the action that they did against you. But that doesn't mean that you can't still press charges against them. That doesn't mean that you still have to give up all of your rights as a citizen and just live in this, oh, well, I guess that's what I get because I live in forgiveness. No, you can choose to forgive and yet still pursue the you know, whatever it is in the court of law. And so you don't need to get those two things mixed up. We can live in forgiveness and also get justice when it comes to criminal activity. All right, let's move on. The next question, does forgiving mean that what they did is okay?
Yay, that's my question. Hallelujah.
And I just want everybody to know that it's not Pastor Kim's fault that she only thought she had to answer one question. When she wrote back to Pastor Destiny that she was only going to have this one question, Pastor Destiny forgot to respond to her and say, no, Kim, it's all of these questions that you're going to be asked. So, Kim, I just want to clear you up here in front of all these people.
Please forgive them. Oh, yeah, I will.
Please forgive Pastor Destiny right now. Let's have an act of forgiveness.
You're always forgiven. She's incredible. I don't think I said even thank you for just this opportunity. Because I know that, you know, living as a mom, as a wife, and the steps that God has given me, forgiveness, my goodness, every day is an opportunity to be like Jesus. And really just to show that Jesus really does love beyond the actions of a person, and then he corrects. He really does correct with the intentions of watching his kids change and become better. So my question here, and that's the only question that I had written down here because I was only going to talk about that. So does forgiveness mean that what they did is okay? And we probably would all say, no, it's not okay. And the story I was stuck on last night was reading in the scriptures about Jesus, the crucifixion, and leading up to the crucifixion. And it was not okay that two of his best friends, his brothers, part of the 12, it was not okay that one of them betrayed him and sold him out for a few pieces of silver. It was not okay that there was one of his the guys that hung out Peter. It was not okay for him to betray him and to deny him. Yeah. No. Yeah. Jesus knew that this stuff was going to happen, but it was not okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we're able to read this, we're able to see that, no, it's not okay that people do what they do to you. It's not okay that as he was betrayed, as he was sold for a few pieces of silver, and he sealed it with a kiss, it was not okay that they chose an innocent man to hang between two thieves. It was not okay. It wasn't right. But Jesus, he had to fight through that. God, if it were me, it's like, do you really know what you're doing? I'm innocent. And why is it that my husband and my kids, my best friend and my sister, they're all doing this to me? Why? This is wrong. Why did you choose me to go through this? He did that because we need to know how to live through life when it's not okay and we're still required to forgive. It's not okay that you have to go through the divorce and your husband has cheated on you, not with one, but two, and you come to the church, the same church, and you sit there and you're required to love both of his mistresses. Wow. It's not okay, but forgiveness is something that is doable. Yes. When we were pastoring years ago, we brought this woman in, and some of you may know the name Carlton Pearson. And his godmother, Mom Campbell is what he called her, and she shared her testimony. And she said she was married as a young woman, and her husband went out and had an affair, and he had a child. And she said what the Lord required her to do, now it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay that the husband did that. He had a child, but the Lord required, he said, now I want you to go get that baby and raise that baby as your own. You talk about having to know and to walk in forgiveness every day, because not only is it not your child, and you never had any kids, you couldn't have kids with that husband. Every time you look at that child, you see your husband and another woman. You don't even see pieces of yourself that remind you of who you are. But the Lord, he's so much bigger. She was able to pour into that child because that mother was just some woman on the street. She was able to pour into that child because she was able to say, yes, Lord, this is a difficult and a hard thing, and I can forgive. I can do what you ask me to do. I can. But her example was Jesus. It was not okay. It's not okay that, you know, the people that you grow up with, you hang with, you love, you eat, and yeah, I love you, got your back, bro. Yeah. Girl, let's go shopping, you know. Yeah, we don't have to say anything. It's those shoes, right, that boot. Yeah, we know. It's like all the foods you love, we love. I can cook it. I know your special seasoning to put in it, you know. Yeah. Yeah. It's not okay. When they step into your marriage and take your husband, it's not okay. But it's forgivable. Wow. It's doable. What Jesus did in the face of death and watching his own deny him, sell him, and seal it with a kiss and choose him, the innocent man, to hang on the cross and die. We choose him, crucify him. Yeah, he's innocent, but we want him. Wow. And what he said was so inspirational. And teaches me that forgiveness is doable. As he hung there, he said, Father, forgive them. Yeah. They really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's so good.
I can do it. Yeah. And I know if Jesus could do that, I mean, it just seems like the unthinkable, yeah, what Jesus did, yes, on the cross. Yes. Why kiss me? Just do what you got to do. Go on. Just just do your thing. As Peter denied him, not once, not twice, but the third time, and cock-a-doodle-doo. See, I told you. But still, Father, forgive them. Jesus wants us to know that forgiving one another is doable. Not that the fact that the act is not wrong. And they are held to, I mean, it's a consequence. There are conditions. And they have to live that life out. But as they watch me, one who's connected to Jesus, I want them to see Jesus all over everything I say, everything I do, everything, how I struggle. It's not easy for me to say I forgive you, but it's doable. And I'm going to walk this thing out. I am. I can do this. And I am created. The way I'm created is someone who sings and things, messages come to me in a song. And I want to sing so bad, but I wasn't invited to sing. I was invited to come sit in the middle of these amazing men, and you had worship. But there's a song that says, and it's a scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we remember that one thing, it's not my strength that I have to lean on, but it's Christ that strengthens me. And we need to move past, because I am so weak in some things. But when I'm reminded, girl, it's not you. It's not. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Lean on Jesus. Lean on the strength that's on the inside of you. You can't but take another step and allow Christ to do this thing through you. Amen?
So good. Amen. Man, I have really never seen that scripture in terms of forgiveness. I can do all things through Christ. I think I may have seen everything else in life, but I've never seen it so beautiful and so powerful that I am able to forgive because of what the scripture says. I can do all things. I can forgive through Christ who lives inside of me. What a powerful, powerful picture. It's not okay, but it's doable. Amen? Amen. Let's just wrap this up here. The next question I think is just so important. How do we forgive someone who is dead or is absent from our life? And do we always need to tell the person in order for it to be real forgiveness? Do we need to physically ask them in order for it to be forgiveness?
You know, I think you want to be led by the Spirit, even in forgiveness. Sometimes God will allow you to just forgive in your heart, and, you know, it can be resolved. And, you know, sometimes just even in the act of forgiving somebody, you just unleash a whole nother thing for the other person to be struggling with, especially if they didn't even know what they were doing was wrong. They may have been unintentional at it. But here's the great thing about forgiveness. When Jesus forged the gift of forgiveness on the cross, the Bible says he literally went back to those who had already died before him and preached a message wherever they were of forgiveness. Yes. Yes. And forgiveness is so powerful, it can reach all the way into the future, which is why we can appropriate the gift today, even though he died 2,000 years ago. Wow. It doesn't matter the state of whoever that individual is in your life that has offended you and hurt you. If you need to offer up forgiveness, we do this in encounters, we do this in different ways by proxy. God, the gift is so powerful, I can literally forgive my dad or my grandparent who is no longer with me for maybe things that they did, abuse or those things. The gift is so powerful that God literally validates the gift and allows the power of it to take effect and bring me freedom in my life by just the act of forgiving what happened. So if you've got some things and some people in your life and you have no way of getting back to them, the power of the gift is you can still give it and you can still gain freedom in Christ. Forgiveness is all about, in my opinion, two things. One, relationship, and two, freedom. God designed forgiveness so that we might be in right relationship with him and one another. And he also designed the gift so that I might be free of the bondage of sin that I was under. And you have to understand that when I offer forgiveness to other, it keeps me free. Yes. I can release then those hurts and those things. Doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be free, because if they never appropriate the gift, it does them no good. But give freedom, give forgiveness. It doesn't matter if they're dead or alive. Give it. And ask the Holy Spirit for the wisdom to know whether you need to have that conversation live. There are many times you do. I have some difficulty with the scripture, because it says, if I've done wrong, I'm to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And if they've done wrong to me, I'm still supposed to go to them and try to resolve it. I mean, yeah. It's like you get it both sides of it. What a bummer is that? But the gift is so powerful that, as Kim said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Wow. So good. You know, forgiveness is so complex, and there's so many different ways to see it. And there's everybody here has a story. Everybody here has somebody to forgive, has something that they have to walk through. And forgiveness, whenever we ask God for forgiveness, I think it's important for us all to remember that forgiveness is yours. Forgiveness, it really is for you. It is something that is there for you, because it doesn't matter if they're dead or alive and don't want it, don't care what you say, don't care to be in relationship with you. Whenever I give forgiveness, it's not about their response back to me. It's about me being free. Yeah. It's about me living in reconciliation. Yeah. That's because it's mine. And so in your life, you don't need to worry. If you go to somebody and they don't give forgiveness, or if we said that person is dead, or if they're distant and there's no way to get in touch with them, you have no idea where they are or who they are or where they're living, it doesn't matter, because forgiveness is all about you. It is yours. It's the way God designed us to live, so that we could be free and so that we could be whole, that we wouldn't be in that prison like Kim started talking about, that unforgiveness puts us in. But God wants us to live in freedom. And I just want to close with this one thought. And that is that we forgive so that people out there in the world can see God living in us. Yes. The Bible says that we are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the representation of Christ on the earth. And when people see you forgive, they see something different than they have ever seen in their life, because everybody else is about justice, about vengeance, about getting their fair share. But whenever you step out in the world and you live in forgiveness, it sticks out and it causes the light of God to shine in your life. And I think it's just an incredible way for us to close out this series, by understanding that, why do we forgive others? So that God can be made known in the earth. It's all about getting the good news of Jesus Christ, getting that message out there into the world, that somebody might be touched and changed by that. Amen.